Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
All right. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? And you know the rules when I preach, right? This isn't a silent church when I preach. We gotta roll the amens out. There we go. Somebody is getting, all right. You know, in a couple more months, I'm going to get up and y'all just going to start shouting up in here. It's going to be awesome. John chapter 9, we're going to read from verses 1 through, looks like 12 here. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who said, 'I am the light of the world.' It is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in a pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. So this is just a fun story to preach, I will admit. It's looking at how Jesus, we are continuing in our series of John, and what we're doing is looking at how Jesus encounters the other, right? How on his walk to Calvary, Jesus over and over again reached out to those on the margins and brought them into the center of the conversation. And here is another opportunity for us to take a look at that today. And this one is particularly fun for me for some reason. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll find out someday about it. So now, one of the things that catches my eye pretty quick, is a short thing, and it's pretty profound. As Jesus went along, for some reason, stuck out to me this time, right? This idea that the context of what we see happening is as Jesus passes by, as Jesus goes along, as they are walking here or there, they go from Jerusalem to Jericho, or they, you know, and in these walks, Jesus does all this incredible stuff, right? Like, there's no buildup of the moment, right? They get in a worship service and the music plays and we hear dun, 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 right? Like, there's none of that, right? It's like Jesus is walking by and then he just drops a miracle, right? Like in the space of everyday life is when Jesus connected to these folks. And I think that's quite powerful. He's on a path in Matthew 9. He's on a path and he meets two blind men, right? And he heals them, right? Right then and there. He's walking by. There's a man with a mat and he says, "Hey, get up," right? Start walking, right? He's on his way. Jairus comes to Jesus, right, at this one point, and Jairus is this soldier, and he's coming to Jesus because his daughter is sick, and asks Jesus to come visit his daughter. Jesus is on his way to visit his daughter, who, by the way, is going to die, right, on his way there. So he literally is going to go raise somebody from the dead, but some woman touches him on the way, and he stops, right? And he's like, "Hey, who touched me?" He has this long thing about this woman and her touching him on his way to heal somebody else, right? Kind of interesting how this context of in everyday life, as he passed along, as he walked along, that the glory of God was present. Kind of this, for me, this message that might signal to us that perhaps it is in the miracle of the ordinary that God tries to fit into our lives and the lives of others around us. Maybe not in the great moments when we're worshiping together or we're in front of the table together. Those are wonderful moments, but perhaps it's when I'm taking out my garbage or going to the copier at work or seeing another patient or what, like your kid is screaming again and, you know, you got to go up to the school, right? Like perhaps it's in those moments, right? As we pass by, as we go, that God has something waiting for us in those spaces that we should be on the lookout for, right? As he passes by our lives and as our lives pass by, that God wants to sit right in the space of the ordinary of our life, right? The everyday, the mundane, when Donna's yelling at me, right? Like those, oh, sorry, that just kind of came out. Donna doesn't yell at me. I don't do anything to get yelled at. So that's another sermon. She might preach that one. So the next part of this, and I'm gonna break it up into a few different themes here. So there is this as we pass along, but then the disciples, as they're walking by, there's a man laying here begging, right, who's blind. And the disciples decide to inquire about this man. Now, they probably passed this guy before, right? He laid there over and over. People knew who he was, right? And so the disciples this particular time, they decide that they were going to engage in some type of conversation with Jesus and try to bring some deep thought to this guy laying here. Jesus, tell us, who sinned here, right? This man or his parents, right? And, you know, they're trying to make some kind of talk with Jesus that sounded really good, right? You know those conversations you have, right? You know those conversations you have about, like, poor folks, right? Why are they poor, right? Or oppressed people, like why are they oppressed? Or, you know, like I wonder why that mom is raising those children on her own, right? Do you wonder that sometimes, right? Right? You know, like how people who think they're above certain people try to have some kind of intellectual conversation about who those people are and what they're doing in their lives. Right? I don't know if you've engaged in that kind of conversation, but there are textbooks written in those ways, right? We are going to dissect the poor today, right? That's what the disciples are doing here, right? And Jesus quickly turns that conversation. He's like, you are asking the wrong question, right? The question, what you should be asking and understanding is that there is a blind man who's begging at the side of the temple, right? And I am here. What you should be asking, right, is, Jesus, what can you do in this situation, right? God, what can you do, right? Like you really are God. This person can't see. Give us something, right? Right? We ask the wrong questions. And we're trying to dissect what's going on in the world instead of coming up in here and laying down on this altar and saying, Jesus, come on. God, do something. We know who you are, right? That this, Jesus says, it's neither about this person or his parents. It's about me. I am, he says, again, he reiterates, I am the light of the world, right? It's like he's reiterating to the disciples, knuckleheads, right? I'm right here, right? Jesus, I am the light of the world. I created the world, right? Like you have seen me do miracles, right? What are you talking about? What you should be doing is like, hey, Jesus. Like, put some sight in that dude. Let's see you do that. Right? It sounds funny, but God has the power to do that. Jesus has the power right with them, and he reminds them again, I am the light of the world. When are you going to get that through your skulls? That whatever the world needs, I can give. And here is a situation where you can see the glory of God revealed. What situations are we just talking about in our lives? We're just pontificating. We're just wondering instead of approaching the God we say that lives within us to do something, to show glory in this moment. Those moments are before us, my friends. Jesus says, don't place blame. I'm right here. You have the opportunity to see justice and healing play out today. And you're asking the wrong question. There's another group here in the middle of this story, and it's the Pharisees, right? These Pharisees and Sadducees, these leaders, right? They brought this man after he was healed, right, to the Pharisees, the man who had been born blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man says. The man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. They're like, get the setting, my friends. Dude laying on the side. Everybody knows him, right? He's blind, right? We'll find out later. His parents will confirm that. And he now sees. They're talking to this guy. He's looking at them, right? Like the dude laying outside begging, you are now looking at, talking to. And the question you have is, was it Sabbath? Was it Sabbath? Yeah, I don't care what day it was. The dude is I'm a bit of a loud mouth, right? So I can't imagine this guy is like, hey, yeah, now I see. Hey, yeah, this isn't this cool. Like, this guy is probably shouting this stuff out, right? Like, he never saw color, right? He now sees his parents' faces. He now could see the sun after feeling it all of his life. The clouds or the rain or whatever the weather was, like, it's all bouncing in and out of him right now. This dude is probably hyped, right? He's probably like a black preacher in this moment, right? Like, yeah, I can see, right? That's what I imagine as a loudmouth preacher. Their first reaction was not to listen, but to defend. Like they had made themselves the gatekeepers of God. Right? They had put themselves in that place. And if a miracle had taken place, it should be a through and by and with their permission. God needed to move with them. And this is where the lesson starts, my friends, right? This is where now we see Jesus take this moment. Not only did he create a miracle, right? Not only now was this person now seeing, now there was something else going to happen. Jesus was going to give another lesson, right? He was now going to transition power. And he was going to take it from those who thought they had power, and he was going to transition it to the one who was laying on the side, couldn't see, and begging. That is happening in this scripture. Right? This was how Jesus went about these things. Every healing took power from those who thought they had it and gave it to those who thought they had nothing. Right? This is what we're looking at here in John. We're watching Jesus do this over and over and over again, right? The first miracle he does, right, that we read about in John chapter 2, where only people who knew what was going down in the room were the servants, right? Like they put water in those jugs and they came out one. It was like, this Jesus guy is a bad dude. They're the only ones that knew. Jesus took power and he transitioned it. And this is what he's doing here, right? These folks were used to seeing the other as competition. Anything that God did outside of them was competition instead of complementary, right? So if it's not happening in our realm of influence, then it's competition. If it's not Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or whatever strand you might like, if it's not with that strand, then it's competition to us. Why can't God be Baptist and Presbyterian and Methodist? And all of it complements who he is. See, they wanted to control even God's narrative. And we live in a world with gatekeepers like this. And God is consistently transitioning power from those who think they have it to those who think they can have no part of it. See, at the end of this, Jesus declares, those who think they can see, they become blind. And those who are blind, they now see. Jesus is working this out in both ways, right? We see a physical manifestation of that, and now we're reading through and we're seeing a heavenly spiritual manifestation of those who think they could see becoming blind. The longer this story goes, the more blind those leaders become. This healing takes attention off people and puts it right smack on Jesus. This guy, his life is transformed instantly. The scripture says he's no longer a beggar. And now says he could now see, right? He's no longer in a place where he has no dignity. Jesus instantly gives him dignity. He comes walking up. He doesn't need anybody to help guide him through the crowd any longer. He doesn't need any more funds raised for his support. He now can sit at the table and help and work with those who want to raise to help folks who are laying by the side of the road. You see, there was a deeper problem they had. See, freedom for the poor and the outcast was a problem for these folks who were at the center of the story for so long. For these educated folks, for these articulate folks, for these folks who could have conversations about what the problems were with these people, right? Freedom for them became a problem. They were no longer the central culture or the central story. See, free people of color, free immigrants, free women, like that changes the narrative. It no longer plays out in a comfortable way for those with privilege. So they had to look crazy and ask questions like, isn't it Sabbath? What questions do you ask that are quite crazy when God does a miracle in the midst? And you see that as competition, not complementary. See, we all have our isn't it Sabbath questions. Right. See, the Eagles won the Super Bowl this year, but see, we didn't have our running back. See, I just can't give it to them. There has to be an excuse. They can't be a good team, right? I've got to find a way to like make myself feel better in the midst of them winning. And you know, it's even more of a problem because I didn't watch a down of football, but I see what I'm articulating, even though I didn't even watch it. Let's not see what's happening around us as God stretches out and begins to speak and do things from other places as competition. Perhaps that woman preaching now is complimentary to the gospel. Perhaps that guy who now comes here, who was in prison last year and is now doing some teaching, is not complimentary, and is not competition, but complimentary. See, there's something in us, right? When we see freedom, sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Perhaps it reminds us of how free we aren't. I think Jesus keeps pushing these buttons. They had a significant problem. They were standing on this idea about the Sabbath. It was their go-to excuse, how not to engage, right? Every time it happened, there's a man with a withered hand. Jesus heals him. It's on the Sabbath. There's a man, like the story I just ripped, there's a guy laying with his mat. Jesus is walking by, going into the temple. Get up, dude. The guy gets up and takes his mat and goes into the temple. And their problem is, hey, didn't you do that on the Sabbath too? Over and over and over again, Jesus goes right at that Sabbath point. And he keeps pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. See, there's stuff that's hot button for us. I am convinced that race and culture is the hot button for a white evangelical church right now. And that button keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed by the prophets of our day. And we keep responding, don't all lives matter? There's another movement here. It's the blind man's testimony. The blind man's testimony is, I have no idea who healed me, right? But others asked, right? Here's these Pharisees again. How can a sinner perform such signs? Now they made Jesus a sinner, right? So they were divided. So then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened, the man replied. And then the man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? Right? They'd have made his parents liars now, right? Is this your son? Is this the dude you say was born blind? How is it that he can see, right? I love the parents' answer. Dude. And I do see the scripture kind of coming through like some black folks talking. So if it comes across like that, that's exactly how I see it. So So they go, they call his parents in, and I love his parents' answer. Look, this is our son. First of all, they all can imagine them asking my mom this. Yeah, that's my son, right? Yes, he was born blind, right? You calling me a liar? That's my son. And he was born blind. Now, how he can see, I can't answer that. You need to do what? Ask him, right? They're closing the doors on me. I got to calm it down. Ask him, right? He's grown. He can answer for himself, right? And they do. They go to him, right? But check out, like, why the parents are questioned and why they don't fully go in this. Now, remember, this is their son. Dude, if I was blind and came home seeing, Rachel Barber would be shouting from the rooftops for years, right? Like, there is no calm moment for her in that scenario. And I don't think there is for any mom in here. But they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They had already said, anybody who acknowledges this man, Jesus, was the Messiah, that you will be kicked out of the synagogue. This is the problem also of the day, of that day, and I think currently. Like, it's self-centered leadership, right? Leading out of fear and not freedom. See, they threaten their parents, right? Insecure leaders are a problem for a number of reasons, right? They see everybody as a competitor, right? They forget, right, there's a body of work, right, that calls for different gifts, right? They demand personal respect. They force people to choose them in certain ways over and over again, right? They hide behind the letters of the law, right? This kills the spirit of people living on the edge, right? What I mean by that, personal example. When we went into ministry early in our lives, we were in our 20s, and we were having our second kid, and we didn't have health insurance. And so we had to use the public health system in Philadelphia, right? And they have public clinics there. And we go to a public clinic. It's our first appointment with our second born. You know, it's 3 years later. You know, just had calmed down a little bit, and we decided to have a second kid. And Jess never calmed down for 30 years, but that's another story. I didn't even know you were here. So we go into this clinic, right? And we're there, and it's the first appointment. And they call our name. They call Donna's name, and we start to head back. And the person says, "Hey, no, you can't come back here." To me, and I was like, "What? That, you know, that's my wife. You know, we're married. And I'm gonna come in the back. What are you talking about?" I may have said it a little louder. But she goes, no men are allowed back here. And I said, that's my wife and my son. And she goes, well, we've had some problems, blah, blah, blah. So now there's a rule that men can't come back here. And in that moment, right, she's holding up the law, the rule, without contextualizing it, right? She isn't going, oh, yeah, you're married. That's your husband. This is your second child, right? You're a pastor, right? Like, she's not connecting any of these things. She's just relying on the rule of the law. Now, there might be reasons why they made that rule. But if there are reasons without the ability to contextualize, what it does is it ruins and harms the spirit of those, right, of all kinds of people. It doesn't allow for stories to be told. And see, so much of what we do in this world now is we take these rules of law and we don't contextualize them properly. We don't contextualize them at all. I want to throw this kid in jail, even though he's 15 and jumped a turnstile, and it says he needs to have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, without, oh, he's 15, oh, his mom is stepping in, she's down here, oh, there's this. Like, there's no context, only law. And when we live our lives with only law, understand, the rule of law hurts those who are sitting on the edge of that space, of those communities. That's what happens here. These parents don't rejoice with their son because the rule of law, right, that these Pharisees put in place says, if you acknowledge anything about this Jesus, you will be put out of this temple. And they didn't want to lose their community. The man born blind, though, he was just telling his story, right? They summon him a second time, right? The man who had been born blind, and they go to him. Give glory. Listen, check this out. Give glory to God by telling the truth. Dude, he can see, right? Right? Give glory to God by telling the truth. There was an assumption that he was lying, his parents were lying. You know those assumptions we take when folks who are not from the same place as we are, they might have less money, they might live in a house that doesn't look like yours, they might act differently, speak differently, come from different places, and we're gonna judge whether they are the guardian truth. Because we, of course, are the guardians of truth. See, privileged folks, we make ourselves that, right? We got the truth. And anybody who is marginalized has to prove to us that they are truthful. They take this on here by telling the truth. Well, I'm not lying, bro. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. And then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already. This is why I love this story. This dialogue is fascinating, right? I have told you already and you did not listen. Why don't you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? Hold up. Something just flipped in the story, didn't it? Right? The scriptures let us in on this flip. Right? It's from, you tell us the truth, calling your parents in, isn't it Sabbath, to this man now, he's got his dignity. He can now see. They're now talking to him as an equal. And he's like, well, I'm telling you, I was blind, now I see. This miracle was created in our midst. And you don't know who he is? You don't understand this God? Well, you need to, come on, you can be one of the disciples too. Now, mind you, this dude doesn't even know who Jesus is. Right? The script is flipped now. He now had dignity, right? He doesn't need their recollection of Jesus, right? He doesn't need the history of the law. He doesn't need all of the rituals of the temple court. He doesn't need the smoke and the prayers. He doesn't need the worship team or the communion table. He doesn't need any of that. He says, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. My friends, There are plenty of people who can enter this space right now and give testimonies of what God has done. Right? And what God has done, folks have come, there are some in this space, I'm sure. All you know is that I was on drugs and now I am free. Praise be to God. All you know was I didn't have that job at that time and God saw our family through. All I know is I am now through. I don't know how our family got through that. All I know is we're on the other side. Praise God. Sorry. Friends, this is a scary place for power and privilege, right? This dude now had equal voice, right? And like he's now in the mix. He's now preaching all of a sudden, right? He preaching about the histories of creation in Jesus Christ in there, and he don't even know who he is. The heavens will declare my glory. We don't need to explain who God is in the world. We need to affirm when God is working. Yes. We don't need to be apologetic about Jesus. We need to connect those points when Jesus is doing what he's doing now in the world. And then they get to this point. See, it's something when equal voices in the room, right? And that, like he now has an equal voice and the story is now different. It's not about Sabbath day any longer. It's now flipped. When folks who are marginalized get voice, it's celebration. That's why we're going to go see Black Panther this afternoon. Y'all been watching how black folks been acting around Black Panther. Dressing down. I should have put a picture of my daughter up there. Like dressing down. Like, I'm an all black today. If you come this afternoon, I'll be there at 3:20. Wear your black, right? Don't come without your black, bro. Go hook it up, right? Why is this? Why do you think that's happening? We're going to talk about this tonight. I don't need to get into that. But there is dignity rising. There is a film from our perspective. We directed that film, even though I ain't directing nothing. Even though I don't know how to hold a camera or turn it on. Oh, we shot that thing well. Thought they were to be. When many white evangelical leaders are not who we thought they were to be, they haven't given this full story. And now we are getting opportunity to hear the story. Healed people are now, dignified people are now bringing the story. This is, sorry. I'm looking at Kurt because I'm not keeping this mic where it should be. Sorry, bro. If you don't recognize that Black Lives Matter has led to Me Too, you don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get what the path of freedom looks like. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam to wash, so I went and I washed, and then I could see." We know that God does not listen to sinners, they say. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard the opening of the eyes of a man born blind. We don't know this kind of spirituality, brother. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't understand God moving and working in this way, is what they were saying. We don't know this God. Nobody has ever heard of an opening of a blind man laying at the side of the road. They had opportunity to join right then and there, and they didn't. To the man born blind, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. They had opportunity. And if you dig in the scriptures, you will see the problem comes in, right? When it's somebody who shouldn't be speaking. And when that happens, it creates a dilemma. And a dilemma is you can either get to know the God who does make blind people laying at the side of temple C, or you can double down and throw people out. They choose to throw them out. Here is the moment. We now have in this scripture sitting before us a church, a temple, a sanctuary full of people who are in. We now have a blind man, a seeing man who was blind, out. And we have Jesus. That's the seed. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus, the one in whom we put our trust. Jesus, month after month, we come back to this table week after week, month after month to celebrate, does not go into the temple. He goes out to the man who can now see. And he gets out to the man who can now see. And he says, what's going on? And a man who could now see, it's like he doesn't have a problem telling this story over and over again, right? Again, he says, hey, this is what happened, bro, right? I was laying on the side of the road begging. Some guy, Jesus, came along. He spit on the ground, made some clay, told me to go wash, and now I see. I'm going to tell you. If I knew who this guy Jesus was, I would be praising him. I would worship him right now. And Jesus reveals himself in that moment in a verse. That's me. The God of the universe reveals himself outside of the establishment, reveals himself based on the testimony of a blind man. Beggar at the side of the temple gates who now sees. And the question is, what is our role? What is our understanding of that? That God is at work out in the world, doing stuff, healing folks, making creation and healing and dignity known. The connector point is us, my friends. And you know who that was? That could have been Jesus. Here's how Jesus works. And if you want to worship him, this is how we worship him on Sundays. Come up in here and you'll meet some more folks just like you. And then the story comes to a close as Jesus says, hey, those who think they could see have become blind. Those who are blind now see. What's your place in the story, my friends? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this incredible story. We thank you for the testimony of the blind man who now sees, who preaches to us moments after he can see. May we be people who can lift you up in our everyday lives as you pass by and hear the stories and connect the stories of the blind men in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.